Ice baths, 4 a.m. wake-up calls, extended heat runs, and other extreme activities are garnering big-time attention on social media and elsewhere as paths to mental toughness, personal success, and more. Beyond the 15 minutes of fame garnered by the post, is there any legitimate science behind these and maybe other less dramatic ways to step into and through discomfort? And why, in the midst of the growing popularity of these strategies, do most of us find it difficult not to step into an ice bath, but to simply get off the couch and get moving? What does the science, the evidence tell us? Is an ability to do hard things due to genetics, habit, a combination of the two? Are there ways to enhance our ability to step into challenges with purpose? Or are we just stuck with the way we are, with no practical ways in which to enhance our skill set in this realm? In this episode, we'll dig into those questions and more as we explore the part of the brain that appears to play a significant role in the process of moving outside our veritable comfort zones, and why it's so important in both our current and future lives. I'm your host, Dr. Brad Cooper, CEO of Catalyst Coaching 360. And when we started this podcast almost 350 episodes ago, our goal was to provide our listeners with a resource to move beyond the fads, beyond the headlines, and tap into what the evidence tells us about living life to the fullest and helping our clients, coworkers, and friends do exactly the same. This new feature, Evidence in Action, marks an important new resource in doing exactly that, as we'll be regularly digging into the latest evidence on a popular subject that may or may not have real substance. We'll be summarizing key elements of the latest research on the subject and what it means, and I think this is so important, what it means on a practical level to you, your clients, and your team members. We'll focus our time on critical highlights and real-world application. We'll then provide links to the studies reviewed in the description of the podcast for those of you who might want to take a deeper dive. Speaking of deeper dives, if you're one of those folks looking to earn your MBHWSC-approved health and wellness coach certification, our next cohort group kicks off soon. So you may want to check into those details. If you're already a coach, Catalyst is launching a pair of exciting new subspecialty certifications this month that address sleep and practical mental toughness skills to both enhance your coaching and help you differentiate from what other coaches are offering. All the details of both are available on our Institute site, catalystcoachinginstitute.com, or please reach out anytime with questions about any of these options, and we'll set up some time to discuss. Results at catalystcoaching360.com. Now, let's dig into the evidence in action related to our comfort zones, brain's mechanisms, and what it means on a practical level for each and every one of us going forward. The anterior mid-cingulate cortex region of the brain, or AMCC, has garnered attention over the past decade plus as somewhat of an epicenter for tenacity, or the willingness to move into and through a challenging situation or activity. The AMCC becomes more engaged or activated when we step into difficult tasks. Now, those difficult tasks don't have to be physical pursuits. Let me emphasize that. They may include engaging in a difficult conversation, staying focused without checking our phones, ignoring donuts in the break room, or any activity that requires increased cognitive control on our part. Over time, it appears engaging in challenging tasks that involve this elevated cognitive control leads to adaptations in the brain, which then makes it easier to do more of that in the future, similar to the way in which strengthening a muscle makes various activities easier. Now, just to clarify, and please listen to this part, there are plenty of unhealthy challenges. That is not and should not be the goal or the target. For the purpose of today, any reference to selectively choosing discomfort over comfort is about choices that are neither psychologically nor physiologically damaging. In other words, don't be an idiot. As we'll discuss, there are plenty of ways in which we can strengthen this area of the brain that are healthy or at least health neutral. I'll provide you with some potential options during the implementation ideas section that we have toward the end of this episode. Let's start with a series of 7 key highlights about the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, or AMCC, several of which came from a research review article titled The Tenacious Brain from the journal Cortex. We'll link to that article as well as other resources I consulted in the podcast description that accompanies this episode. So number one, the primary goal of the AMCC is efficient energy regulation, balancing effort with reward. It modulates our physiological response. That might include blood pressure, hormone levels, heart rate, all kinds of things. Now, remember, the body's first priority is survival, not expanding our impact or achieving long-term goals. It's driven to survive. And before we had calorie-dense foods available 24/7 around every turn, that meant minimizing expenditure of energy unless the action chosen provided a very high reward payoff. The lack of available energy supplies it's obviously no longer an issue for us. But the brain doesn't realize that. The brain continues to act on that premise. As a result, the AMCC is constantly scanning for the easiest available path. When we choose otherwise, it says, hold on there, we need to talk about this, and it lights up. Number two, the brain is a predictive machine, using our past history as its primary guide. As we override this easy path algorithm and step into uncertain challenges and discomfort more frequently and across a broader range of settings and situations, our predictions begin to shift. Think of a time you joined a new group. You don't know anyone, you've never been there before, you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, and then you keep going back. And as you return to that group setting, you get to know a few people. You become familiar with the routine. You know where to go. Your predictions then shift. Less uncertainty equals enhanced accuracy of our predictions. The discomfort and thus the required effort initially felt, it decreases. It diminishes over time, and our predictions adjust accordingly. Number three, there are two sides to this AMCC predictive modeling. On one hand, it predicts the cognitive and physical costs of every possible action, while also simultaneously predicting the rewards associated with those actions. That's where our opportunity presides. The unknown is weighted far more heavily in terms of energy expenditure, and at the same time, potential rewards are generally downplayed because we don't know what's coming. However, as we do step into challenges and discomfort and then reap the various rewards, the AMCC begins to see that overweighting as prediction error. Oh, yeah, that was worthwhile after all. It then adjusts its calculation and uses that new calculation in similar future situations. Here's one from my own life recently. There's an evening track group here in town, but I never joined them for a winter session because my AMCC always said, no way. It would highlight the cold and dark, and the need for a headlamp, and the much easier, much lower energy expending alternative of a cozy evening on the couch. Even when I made the decision to go, and I'm not exaggerating this at all, folks, it was a battle. Yeah, even up to the last minute, I wanted to change course. Right up to the point of literally stepping out of the Jeep to join the group, I was like, maybe we'll just go home. However, once I did get my butt out there and provided my AMCC algorithm a dose of reality to include, then its predictions about both the cost of doing that, the energy cost, and the reward shifted dramatically. It now had real data versus predictive data on which to base its future guidance. Number four, in terms of these predictions, our prediction of effort and reward vary by individual and within individuals over time. This stuff is so fascinating. We previously had Dr. Dennis Prophet, the author of Perception, on the podcast. You may have caught that one. He discussed this unbelievably fascinating research showing that fit individuals, in this case, female college soccer players, perceive distance and slope very differently from less fit individuals. The soccer player's AMCC interpret the distance as being shorter and the incline of the hill easier based on prior experiences, based on who they are, their fitness levels. Let me say that a different way. A mile looks shorter to a female college soccer player than an Instagram-obsessed student. We have the power to change our predictive mechanisms related to cognitive and physical effort tied to the future pursuits through the choices we make today. Number five, microimaging studies have added a fascinating new twist to the evidence. They appear to show increased activity of the AMCC, meaning making regular choices to step into those challenging or uncomfortable options we're talking about may account for higher levels of tenacity and lower levels of apathy when facing other challenges. Are you hearing this? Like, how exciting is that? In addition, this higher AMCC activity during cost-benefit weighing, so when we're making that calculation, was associated with a willingness to exert more effort and a greater willingness to take on bigger challenges in the future. So regularly engaging our AMCC not only makes us more willing to step into challenges, we also take on bigger challenges and put forth more effort when doing so. Number six, if some of this is sounding a little familiar, it's related to the anchoring effect. Our brains anchor to a number or an experience within our internal predictive algorithm to which all future comparisons are made. For example, if you run, I don't know, let's say 3 miles a day, a few days a week, your brain is anchored to that number, making a mile run, which is a long distance to someone who isn't running at all, seem almost like a rest day. We regularly create and hopefully recreate, if we're curious and growing, anchors that cover every conceivable aspect of life. Depending on our approach, these anchors can either provide stability from which we can then further explore the world, or they can hold us down, limiting our progress forward. Number seven, just a brief note for those who may be curious about the benefits of this whole thing later in life. Many of the most pronounced neurobiological differences between superagers, those who maintain their cognitive abilities, and typical older adults involves the structure and function of, you guessed it, the AMCC. Before we get into the implementation ideas, I just want to make a brief comment about ego depletion. This is a theory developed by social psychologist Dr. Roy Baumeister. The theory suggests that self-control is a finite resource that can become depleted, leading to a diminished willpower and reduced ability with subsequent self-control tasks, which is obviously central to what we're talking about today. Maybe you've noticed that on a day in which you successfully take on a challenge at work, expand upon a fitness pursuit, or shift a long-standing habit with alcohol, caffeine, or afternoon junk food, but then you find yourself mindlessly binging Netflix, scrolling social media, or grabbing an extra cookie at night, that's likely related to ego depletion. You used all your chips, you went overboard, and now you're more susceptible to sliding in other areas. This may also be related to some of the high-profile stories we see about incredibly disciplined executives, athletes, and others making, well, let's just say awful decisions in their personal lives. Obviously, many other variables are involved, but it could be they're excessively depleting their self-control in one area of life and having nothing left in the bank to make the right decision in the other areas. Not an excuse, just an interesting possibility. The prolonged or repeated engagement in these self-control tasks may deplete the related neural resources, potentially leading to reduced effectiveness of the AMCC for these individuals and for us. The lesson here is to use wisdom as we take these steps. Gradual investment, using the plus one model I'll mention in a moment, optimizes our likelihood of success over putting everything on a single roll of the dice. All right, let's move into the implementation ideas. I want to give you a few practical tips. I've got a set of six here that can allow you to take this information and not just say, oh, that's interesting, but actually put it into practice. So number one, set an alarm on your phone for a specific period of time. Maybe start with 30 minutes and work your way up. And then do not touch your phone for any reason whatsoever until that alarm sounds. Number two, exercise. Wait, Brad, you say that all the time. I know there's a reason for that. In this case, there's evidence that exercise, in addition to all the other things we've talked about, also increases the AMCC volume. Number three, value consistency over drama. Yes, I get that social media has boosted the dopamine response for doing something big. But going big for the sake of clicks shifts us to an external versus internal focus, and may also create a rebound effect related to that ego depletion concept that was noted earlier. Number four, tune into your comfort magnets. What times of day, What settings, what circumstances, what people make it more difficult for you to step into the discomfort, to step into that challenge? Once that awareness is there, then you can take actions to move those magnets, or maybe turn your focus to strengthen your resolve in the presence of those magnets, but at least you'll be aware of them. Number five, the Monday multiplier. Now, it doesn't have to be Monday. That's when I love doing it. Kick off your week with a little AMCC exercise. Add or subtract something that creates discomfort. Maybe it's skipping caffeine for the day, using a stand-up desk, doing push-ups every 2 hours, completing a task you've been putting off, adding a weighted backpack to your walk or hike, talking to one new person in line for when you're waiting for coffee, exercising safely, of course, in the wind, rain, or cold that you might otherwise avoid, or any other uncomfortable but not damaging pursuit. Again, doesn't have to be Mondays. I've just found kicking off the week in this way sets up the remainder of the week for success. Number six, our final one, and maybe the most important, is to consider the plus one concept that I referenced earlier. Making gradual changes that activate but don't overwhelm the AMCC neural connections, thus limiting the risk of ego depletion mentioned earlier. How do we do this? Pick one area of focus and make a small adjustment, a plus one. Not a big change, a plus one. This activates the AMCC, but then a new, more accurate baseline or anchor is formed. This shifts your predictive mechanism, and instead of your plus one being uncomfortable with unknown rewards, it simply becomes your new baseline. Implementing this plus one strategy in one area of life consistently creates massive leverage over time from which you can continue to build across all aspects of life. The alternative is the popular go big or go home approach. Sure, we can hop off the couch and go for a 20-mile run or double the weight we line up for our max bench press, but we all know how both of those end. Going big generally results in going home. The plus one strategy is a game changer that may not produce clicks, but it certainly produces results. So back to the question that kicked off today's discussion. Are iSpaz, 4 a.m. alarms, and other hardcore pursuits beneficial? Maybe. But so are the multitude of less dramatic options we mentioned above. You may not garner as many clicks with these alternatives, but you will engage your AMCC and enhance your life in the process, even without the ice. One other note we'll expand upon in an upcoming episode of the podcast that examines the strategies of David Goggins. Please don't forget the joy. In today's world, it's easy to get into a routine of push, 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 and push harder. Yes, there are clear benefits, as we've discussed, to stepping into discomfort and challenges. That's the head element of the head, heart, feet model that some of you may recognize from the Catalyst Functional Mental Toughness and Resilience Specialist Certification. But the head is only the beginning. Next comes the heart, tuning into, or sometimes adding, elements of joy to that pursuit. Once that's established, we progress to the feet, automating the process so it no longer requires a withdrawal from the mental toughness bank account, and we can then take our next step forward. However, if we stop with the head, never getting to the heart, never getting that joy engaged, pursuing the discomfort and then remaining in the state of driven discomfort, are we really even living? I think you understand what I'm saying. If this spurred something and you want to learn more about this, you can check out the details about the FMTC specialist certification over at our institute site at catalystcoachinginstitute.com, or always feel free to reach out. results@catalystcoaching360.com. The research is going to continue to uncover new realities, so please don't put too much emphasis on the specifics of the AMCC itself. Although you got to admit, it is kind of fun to say anterior mid-cingulate cortex among friends every once in a while. There have been many times in history when we've given too much credit to a single part of the brain, only to make additional discoveries later. However, that aside, the practical elements we've discussed, the application to our lives here, that holds true. And they provide an opportunity that many of us, perhaps most of us, usually miss. Now you have an additional tool you can add to your high-performance toolbox. Thanks for joining us for this special Evidence in Action episode. and for being part of the Catalyst community. Make it a great rest of your week, and I'll speak with you soon on the next episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast, or maybe over on the YouTube coaching channel.